Right now, we're going to go into our interview segment right now, and then we will get back into some more conversation. Family, we lost Patrick Henderson on January 14th, one day before his birthday, one day before his 75th birthday, and he had succumbed to prostate cancer. This was his second battle with prostate cancer. We thought that it would just only be right to honor Patrick Henderson just in efforts of promoting good health and understanding good health in our community by having this special program with just a renowned oncologist in reference to prostate cancer research is concerned. So we asked Dr. Powell to come on the line with us this morning. Now, Dr. Powell is a graduate of Howard University, family. So let's give it up for Dr. Powell first for being a graduate of an HBCU. He attended Indiana University Medical School. He did his internship and his residency in Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, Maryland. Dr. Powell is a well-known oncologist with an interest in prostate cancer. His grant-funded research interests are in the genetics of prostate cancer development and its influence of race on cancer behavior, particularly in African-American males. Dr. Powell is a thought leader in prostate cancer and has published extensively on this disease. Family, please give it up for the renowned oncologist, Dr. Powell. Good morning, Dr. Powell.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Was that a great introduction? Again, we celebrate Black greatness here. To see that you graduated from an HBCU, sir, we are truly honored to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to add to one thing is that I'm a prostate cancer survivor as well, and I'm also a bladder cancer survivor. So I have a great deal of passion for my research.
Wow. Well, Dr. Powell, so the host of our show, we lost him on January 14th due to his battle with prostate cancer. This was his second battle of prostate cancer. He beat it the first time thanks to the men and women and the equipment at the Proton Center here in Maryland. We really wanted to just understand, how do we understand this disease that is the number one disease in our community right now, prostate cancer? It is more men are dying from prostate cancer than any other disease currently. We just wanted to have a better understanding of prostate cancer. And Dr. Powell, just could you expound on a little bit some of the research that you've done in reference to prostate cancer in African-American men?
Absolutely. And let me give you kind of a historical approach, because I've been researching this since the early 1990s. And because the diagnosis of prostate cancer, as you said, is more prevalent. It's 60 to 70% higher incidence diagnosed in African-Americans compared to European-Americans, and then the mortality rate is 2 to 3 times greater. And that's extremely important to understand and try to correct. So the question is, why is this the case? Well, I looked at, in the 1990s, the health-seeking behaviors of African-Americans, and as it relates to racism. Racism, as you know, is prevalent in every aspect of our society. And as a result of this, we found when we went to churches, went to 51 churches over a two-year period in Detroit, we found a significant mistrust of the white healthcare system, which is a result of the experimentation that occurred from the time of slavery all the way to 1970s. We also found that fear was a significant factor, and the fact that they did not believe cancer could be cured. So I'm going to come back to that later. But also there's a problem of communication between the white physician and the African-American patient because of a difference in the education. White physicians have a significantly better education than many African-Americans, and that's as a result of and slavery. Those 300 years where we were not able to read and write, and that educational gap continues today. So those are two factors that we found was important in that time that we went to Detroit to evaluate the attitude of African-Americans. So in 2010, we found that the cancers, and we reported this, the cancers actually grow faster in African Americans than in European Americans. And we did this on an autopsy study of 1,000 men who died from other causes. And we found that the cancer actually begins at the decade of 20 to 30. There's no difference in the incidence or the diagnosis between African Americans and whites at that time. But these cancers are too small, would never have been diagnosed, but we found this on autopsy. And the beginning of age 40 is when we begin to see a difference. The cancers are much more prevalent in African Americans. There's a higher death rate. In fact, there's very few European Americans who die between 40 and 50. So the difference continues to increase with the age, and we wanted to understand that even better. So we did a study of genetics, because cancer is a genetic disease, to find out if there is a difference in the genes that are responsible for advanced cancers. And we did find that genes that are associated with inflammation were more prevalent among African Americans compared to European Americans. Now, this inflammation is important because we found that particularly chronic inflammation, not acute inflammation, but chronic inflammation is associated with cancer, and I'll go into more details. But I want to first state in 2015 that we found in West Africa, Ghana specifically, the cancers were more prevalent than in the United States. And in fact, in Haiti and Jamaica, it also is more prevalent than among African Americans in this country. And so the distribution is consistent with the slave trade, as you might understand. And so the question is, why? What is it about West Africa? And in fact, in East Africa, particularly Kenya, prostate cancer is not as common, as well as in Ethiopia, and also in breast cancer as well. So the question is why? And what it comes down to is the environment. The environment in East Africa is what we call savanna, tall grass, small trees. But in West Africa and in Central Africa, it's a rainforest we call a jungle. And in a rainforest, you have mosquitoes that cause malaria and yellow fever. Well, the genes that are responsible for prostate cancer and other cancers as well, as those genes that are protecting the population in West and Central Africa from malaria and yellow fever. This is called population genetics. And these characteristic genes are then passed down through generations. So that's why we find that the distribution from West Africa to the Western Hemisphere prevalent in African Americans as well as in the Caribbean. So that has now brought me to the question of the genes specifically that are causing prostate cancer and other cancers as well. And if you understand when I say as well, these genes are similar in breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. So what we found that these genes that are associated with inflammation, are causing the cancers to grow. They cause them to metastasize to other sites. It increases the blood flow to the cancer. It also causes cancer stem cells, which are resistant to chemotherapy and immune therapy. Now, if the cancers are diagnosed early, then there is no problem with curing. And I need to state that again. Early diagnosis of cancers, when it's confined to the prostate, it can be cured. But once it's beyond that, and it is metastasized, we can prolong survival, but we cannot cure it at that time. So our current work today is to try to develop a drug that will inhibit these genes so that we can maybe save or cure people who have advanced cancers. That's where we are today in terms of our research. You can ask me any questions you'd like to ask, and I'll try to answer those. And I know that you want to know about screening and prevention. So let me say a few words about that. What we recommend for African Americans is that screening begin in age 40 and above. And the important point I want to make is that in early cancers, there are no symptoms. And what we found when we went to the church is that men waited until they had symptoms before they went in. And so we tried to encourage them that you must get an annual exam when you have no symptoms. Those are the kinds of cancers that we can cure because they're still confined to the prostate gland. Also, diet plays a major role in cancers. High-fat diet causes cancers to progress, and a high-fiber diet protects against these cancers. So early detection, family history is very important for us to understand family history because it can be found in families. We did a study that was actually an international study that we participated in nationally, and I led the group of African-American urologists in the country to look at African-Americans. We found families as high as 11 people in the family with prostate cancer. So one thing we must do is talk to our family members about cancer. That's something that often we don't want to do, but it's extremely important because it may help, it may save your life, you may be able to diagnose the cancer early just because you know that it runs in your family. Also, lifestyle changes. We know that people who are obese are more likely to have a more advanced cancers. We know that stress can cause cancers to progress as well. What happens in stress is that it produces a hormone called cortisol. You may have heard that or not. The cortisol increases these genes that are associated with advanced cancers. Also, alcohol and smoking are conditions that are associated with inflammation. So I'm just talking about inflammation a lot, and I want to stress the point that inflammation is in every part of our body. The older we get, the more inflammation we have. It involves every organ in the body. And it's, as I stated earlier, it is strongly associated with cancers. So that's kind of a summary of what we're doing and what we're finding. But I would certainly appreciate any questions you have.
I want to turn it over to the team and allow the team to ask any questions. But my question really is on the lines of prevention. Since we know there are these genetic dispositions, you know, within African Americans that makes us more prone, what can we do in reference to ensuring that, you know, we are living our most healthiest life possible, cancer free?
Like one thing I didn't mention, maybe perhaps I didn't emphasize it, is exercise. Exercise is absolutely key. What it does is drives the expression of these genes down. And that's been shown in breast cancer, and women who exercise have a less aggressive cancers than women who don't. Now, in terms of prevention, we need to understand what causes cancers, and we really don't understand what the cause is. And what I've been talking about primarily is what causes the progression of the disease once it's been diagnosed. And so finding the absolute cause is not clear yet. However, some investigators have truly believed that these inflammatory genes actually may cause the cancer as well as causing it to progress. So that's where we are with that. So we can't really talk about prevention. I've been a part of a couple of studies where we're trying to see whether certain conditions of the body, such as what we eat, may prevent our prostate cancer, but we weren't able to to answer that question. So prevention is difficult to do at this time with the cancers in general, except for lung cancer. Of course, stop smoking, and that's one way to prevent. In fact, I did mention that it was a problem with prostate cancer and other cancers as well because it causes inflammation. So that's one thing that we can certainly do. Alcohol intake also causes inflammation. Extensive alcohol or binge drinking is definitely associated with cancers, prostate cancer included. So exercise is key. And obesity is very important. We now understand the fat cells of a person who is obese produces these inflammatory cytokine genes that I've been talking about. So body size is important. So those are lifestyle changes that we actually can make and may have something to do with preventing an aggressive cancer.
Dr. Powell, this is Will Hanna, and we have some callers that may want to ask some questions as well. So if we can hold on, we're gonna go on the other side. We're gonna pause for station identification, and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
All right.
Send 1010 WOLB Baltimore and WERQ FM HD3 Baltimore.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors or advertisers.
This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word to do for the Lord. And you All cannot right. afford to lose your way. You come too far.
Welcome back, family. Oh, go ahead, Will. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to go ahead. I was just going to say welcome back to the Patrick Henderson Meet the People show. We're on with Dr. Powell, world-renowned genome specialist as relates to prostate cancer. Dr. Powell, just had one quick question before we go to the phone lines. Is Dr. Powell still with us?
I'm still here. Yeah.
There you go. A lot of guys experience. And I just want to make sure if you can dispel whether there's any correlation between what's called prostatitis and prostate cancer.
Yes, there's definitely a correlation. Prostatitis is a chronic disease. I should clarify. Excuse me. Chronic prostatitis. Well, there is an acute prostatitis, which is different. It causes a lot of pain and bleeding. But chronic prostatitis is we have found associated with prostate cancer as well. Most chronic diseases can be associated with cancers, and such as endometriosis or in women, and Crohn's disease, which is a small bowel. All of those chronic diseases that are that we consider benign can be associated with prostate cancer. Okay. So prostate cancer doesn't always mean that you're going to have. Chronic prostatitis doesn't always mean that you're going to have prostate cancer, but it increases the risk of you having it.
Mm, absolutely. Well, we're gonna go to the phone lines. We have Gene, who has a question for Dr. Powell.
How's everybody doing? And Dr. Powell, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
I've been experimenting with integrating herbal medicine along with traditional medicine. And one of the things that the herbalists are saying is, and you're saying, you know, you're talking about inflammation in reference to the prostate. And what they're suggesting is that, you know, this might sound, I hope people don't take it wrong, but African-American men, by sheer numbers, ejaculate more than other groups. Now, this goes back to me, to history, in reference to chattel slavery and the role that the black male played in reproducing offspring. And women literally were impregnated until their wombs prolapsed, right? And so this is a historical fact. And so we were bred. And so this is part of the culture that we were introduced to. So I just wanted to
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I wanted to make that historical, you know, notation so that people understand the tremendous pressure that we have been under as black men and the cultural expectations in reference to just masturbation alone is like, you know, that causes inflammation. I would imagine, sir, I'll ask you that question. Would that cause inflammation like the herbalists are saying?
That question has been asked before, whether masturbation or frequency of sexual function. And there's been no strong evidence to support that yet.
Okay. I mean, I wanted to ask that question. But again, the herbalists are taking sort of...
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the herbalists are sort of taking the contrary opinion. That's basically, you know, my question. And I guess the other thing is, again, historically, after 1808, that's significant because that's when the British did away with the transatlantic slave trade. And again, culturally, the pressure that it was put on us in reference to, you know, and like you're saying, maybe, probably not, but the sheer number of, or the expectation in reference to us performing the sexual act, you know, so many times. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Gene.
You're welcome.
You know, one thing I want to say, because I'm sorry, my phone's ringing. One thing I want to say is that I have a lot of men who come in, and this is a problem, who don't want to be treated aggressively because they feel they'll lose their sexual function. And they will say, I'd rather be dead if I can't have sex. And that's a real problem. I have trouble dealing with that. I always have them bring their wives in when they come, and the wives look at them, you know, like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're more important to me than just for having sex. So I want to break that point clear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we're going to go back to the phone lines. We got Rashid on line 3. Rashid, welcome to Patrick Henderson's Meet the People.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I have early stages of prostate cancer. And my doctor tells me to don't change my lifestyle because I have the thing that's helping me out is my diet, because I don't eat no junk food. I eat good, healthy food, a lot of fruits and vegetables and fish. But the only problem that I have is frequent urination. And the problem with that is what she tells me is that I have an enlarged prostate, and that's blocking my urine, passageway through the prostate, and that's why I have frequent urination.
Yes. I mean, there are no specific symptoms for prostate cancer. The symptoms for benign disease or enlarged gland are similar to prostate cancer. You can have blood in the urine and not have prostate cancer. That also can be associated with prostate cancer. So there's nothing specific for cancer. So yes, he's telling you correctly, if you have a large prostate, it can cause you to go frequently because you may not be emptying your bladder. But you may need to have treatment for that, because that can be fixed by just doing what we call a resection of the prostate, opening up the prostate so the water comes out better, and then you wouldn't have to go to the bathroom so frequently.
I appreciate that.
And we're praying for you, my brother, you know, that you have a successful outcome in reference to your prostate cancer, by the way.
Absolutely.
Well, my doctor tells me whatever my lifestyle is as far as my eating habits, because I don't eat no junk food. I don't eat no cake spies. I don't eat no junk food. So she says just, in fact, I got to go see her in 2 weeks. I got to go see her in 2 weeks. Because I have to go see her every 4 months, you know, because she got to keep a close eye on this.
That's very good.
Awesome. All right. Will, do we have any other callers in reference to Dr. Powell, by any chance?
We do. We have Brother Carlos, and I think we're going to wrap up. He's going to be last caller for this segment. So, Brother Carlos.
Yeah, good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. I appreciate you. I have a question for the doctor, but also want to ask a political question real quickly, if I could, about the General Assembly. Doctor, I went to Georgetown MedStar and got my prostate reduced. I think they had a specialist over there that uses a laser to reduce the prostate, and it seems to have done wonders, you know, for my frequent urination.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, the old slave diet that we are akin to, which you touch bases to, how much does that affect the prostate? That's my question to you. And then I would want to ask a political question of the panel, if I could. Hold on just for a minute after you respond to that answer.
Yes, definitely a high-fat diet, saturated fats. The genes that break down those fats activate these inflammatory genes I've been talking about. Also, omega-6, which is a bad unsaturated fat, also activates these inflammatory genes that I've been talking about. So, yes, diet plays a major role in the inflammation and the production, and in the progression of prostate cancer.
All right, thank you, sir. And my political question to the panel, do you have any read on that HB 243 bill, which was steal the people's houses for the water bills that was in the Senate? Do you have any read on that? And also, the second question was, how did Hogan leave supposedly with a surplus, and now that we now we supposedly have a debit, which engenders these so-called fees and hidden taxes and so forth. Was there a trick bag in that exit of Hogan? Do you have any knowledge of that? Can you respond to that? And I'll take the answer off air unless you have a question for me. Hello?
I have an opinion, but I'm going to kind of reserve that opinion, Brother Carlos. But, you know, I think, you know, it's a difference in ideology, a difference in how governments function. Just my opinion. You know, you have one party that believes in being conservative. They're conservative for a reason. One is more liberal. They're liberal for a reason. So I think the answer is somewhere hidden in there. And I'll leave it at that from my response.
I think one of the issues that I'm finding is, and just for the last, you know, decade that I've been attending the 90-day session, is that we don't play an active part in the legislative process. We don't, you know, be there for those committee hearings. So in many cases, these legislators are you know, creating policies and are supporting legislation that tends to be very broad stroked, or in many cases may not necessarily be what the people are asking for, but the people never spoke up. So, you know, we have a lot of fees that I watched be implemented into legislation this legislative session that nobody testified against them, never told about the impact that would have on families, on motorists, on businesses, or whatever have you. Nobody testified on the bills, so many of these bills move forward without any unfavorable decision. So we have to do our citizenry duty and be a part of the legislative process every 90-day session. And you can do it remotely now. You don't have to go to Annapolis. You can submit your testimony remotely, and you can do a video testimony if you really want to make your testimony loud and clear in the chambers. So that's my take on it. But Dr. Powell, we have to wrap up. We have another guest scheduled, and I thank you so much.
I have a question as well.
Oh, okay, and we have one more caller. Let's wrap up. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay, so we're gonna go to Ms. Linda.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Powell. Can you talk a little bit about the demographic dispersion in the field of oncology, how many African-Americans we have studying that area of practice? And then I'd like for you to just share with me your insights on what government should be doing to assist in addressing this issue, not only in terms of education and the curriculum in the schools, but also education and access to resources within the community, whether it's transportation, healthy food, access to doctors, et cetera, especially in light of what you said in Africa about the difference in rates in the areas that have the rain versus the tall grass and how that plays out demographically with respect to prostate cancer. What role does place and space and the other determinants play in this, and what can government do, including education, to help change this?
Well, all those things you have said need to be done by government, especially the last things. But let me answer the first question about how many African Americans are involved in the research that I'm doing. And unfortunately, I can count them on two hands out of the entire country of African Americans. But that's how bad, how significant our education gap is. And it's only 4% of physicians that are African-American in this country. And among urologists, only 2% of all of them. But all of that 2% don't do cancer research. And the prostate cancer, as I said, you can count them on two hands. So it's unfortunate. We need more. And, you know, that's a major problem. Because it includes the entire educational system. How many African-Americans get into college or go to college? How many get into the graduate schools and medical schools? Because of the educational gap that began in slavery. So that's a major problem. It's a cascading event all the way up to medical school. And in terms of what the government can do, all of those assistance in terms of transportation, locating clinics and areas where it's most needed. And I want to say one other question about where we live and some of the things it causes, and that is the pollution in the air and water. Unfortunately, we live in areas where that is the case, and those are risk factors for cancers, prostate cancer specifically. We had a situation in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, where the waters were contaminated, and there's a higher risk of prostate cancer among African Americans because of the percentage of African Americans in Flint. I'm not sure I answered all of your questions, but the government also could have more resources for prostate cancer research, particularly among African Americans. They're beginning to do it, but it's certainly not enough. That has been a major challenge that I've had in getting monies to do research. What happens in research is that when you present a proposal, it's reviewed by doctors, and rarely, if ever, are they African American doctors reviewing the research, and that makes a big difference in whether you get funded or not. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know what I answered all of your questions, but
yes, sir, you did. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, and Dr. Powell, yes. I had the radiation proton on my prostate about a year and a half ago, and they told me that any problems I'm going to have, I won't know until I'm getting further down the road. But I'm down the road now, and when I had my PSA checked about 2-3 weeks ago, it was 0.1, and that's what they was shooting for when I had the radiation proton. Now I'm down the road, so it has been anything reported that's causing problems after having the radiation proton done?
Well, we don't have an absolute cure. Even if you have the prostate removed, it doesn't mean it's going to be cured. Or radiation therapy, as you've had, doesn't mean it's been cured. So you have to wait until time passes to see, like 5, 10, 15 years. We know that if it's going to recur in 3 years, 80% recur in 3 years, another 20% in 5 years. So that's almost the people who are going to recur usually recur within 5 years. A few go out to 10 years.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks. It's good to know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Well, thank you, Dr. Powell. Again, we do have another guest that's coming on, and I do appreciate you staying over just to be able to inform the community. And we got to invite you back, especially maybe during the summer and especially before or maybe during Prostate Cancer Month in September, we get you back on again to talk a little bit more about this. But again, thank you. We want to celebrate your life as well and your accomplishments and the studying that you have been doing in reference to genomic testing and genomic studies research in prostate cancer in relation to African-American males. Thank you for your work, Dr. Powell.
Thank you for allowing me to talk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we will touch base with you again shortly. Family, please give it up for he's also a professor of Wayne State University. Go Warriors. He's also a professor and, again, graduate of Howard University. HU, got to yell that out real quick. He is a graduate of Howard University. So thank you, Dr. Powell, for the work that you do. And we will make sure that we get Dr. Powell on in the future to talk a little bit more about this. Family, I told you get a pen and paper out because I wanted to share some information. If you are looking for means and ways to find free prostate cancer screening, please take down the following information. You can go to zerocancer.org and touch bases with that website. They also have a number, a helpline. It's 844-244-1309. Again, that's 844-244-1309. That is to the Zero Prostate, to zerocancer.org, and they will help get you in touch with a free screening somewhere within your community. You could also go to cancer.org to find screening locations, as well as you can go to health.baltimorecity.gov, and they also have a plethora of resources in reference to finding cancer screenings throughout the city of Baltimore.